Good Day South Dakota coming up on In the Moment Tech Radio. We'll learn more about a couple of great South Dakota events on today's show. Tomorrow's March for Science in Pierre, Rapid City, and Sioux Falls. And if you've got a great idea for a startup company, well, stay tuned. We'll tell you how a guy in a camper can make your tech dreams come true. We'll discuss the latest tech news, and from typing with your brain to listening with your skin, the latest news from F8, plus your calls, texts, and emails, and Facebook posts. We'd love to hear from you. Send your questions to inthemoment@sdpb.org, inthemoment@sdpb.org. Join the discussion on Facebook at facebook.com/techradio, or call now, 800-524-3604. You can email your suggestions or questions to our guests today. We'd love to hear from you, inthemoment@sdpb.org. We'll hear from the panelists and you after this news from SDPB Radio. You are in the moment on SDPB Radio. I'm Kent Osborne, and we're switching gears a bit and going to talk tech with the computer guys. But first up, tomorrow is Earth Day, and the March for Science in the nation's capital is gaining a lot of steam, and there are actually three marches planned in South Dakota for tomorrow in Pierre, Rapid City, and then Sioux Falls. And we have Ashley Walton here today, you helping organize the Sioux Falls March.
Yeah, thanks for having me, you guys. We're excited.
What are we going to expect tomorrow?
So tomorrow is going to be a beautiful day of the community coming together to support education and science and the community that is growing within Sioux Falls. We have a lot of things that is really exciting happening here in a direct impact of science. So we want to come together and take a stand.
I didn't think about it till I was kind of preparing for the show, but there's a lot of science and tech jobs in Sioux Falls.
Yeah.
Is it hard to get them out of the lab and into the street?
I don't think so. Actually, you know, the group of organizers, we are not scientists. We are community members that feel engaged and empowered, and we want to make sure that the educators and the scientific community feel that support and come together. So we've reached out to a lot of them, and they've been really engaged and happy to participate and support us in any way. So I don't think so. I think they're excited.
That's outstanding. If people want a little bit more information on tomorrow's march here in Sioux Falls, and I guess in Rapid City and in Pierre, where do they go?
So we have a Facebook page, the March for Science Sioux Falls, that has a lot of the different details. But come downtown. We're going to be starting our march at Carnegie Hall, and then we're going to be marching on Dakota Avenue to Falls Park West here in Sioux Falls, where we'll have speakers and some different booths and ways to continue that conversation.
Okay. What got you interested in doing this?
Well, you know,
fired up.
I am a mom, and I think that it's important for my girls to understand that facts matter, education matters, and science matters, because it has a direct impact on their forever. And so I think it's really important for parents to engage with their children and tell them this is what's going on, and this is what climate change means, and this is why we need to do better and educate ourselves and continue to progress, because it's not a time to take a step backwards. And so it's really important that they understand that this is important.
So are you working with your daughters on the STEM, the science and technology and math and engineering and
Yeah. I think my daughter is 10, and she will actually be one of the speakers tomorrow to kick off the speaking. So she understands the importance that her life plays into the bigger picture. And so I think it's important for parents and families and everyone to come out and support this, because this is not a political issue. This is definitely a bipartisan issue, and everyone does need to engage and care and understand what's happening. And so I think that's the biggest thing, is just to get people starting to have those conversations. And marching is not going to be the resolution. This is not going to solve anything. And that's some of the pushback that we've heard is, you know, well, what's marching going to do? Marching, this is a way for our community to come together and be excited about something, but this isn't the end. So it's important for all participants and all South Dakotans to understand what science means to them and their community. And there's a lot of different reasons why people care. There's not one reason why everyone should participate. It's whatever it means to you. But get out there and show our, you know, our leaders and our legislative branches that we do care. Just because we're in South Dakota, we understand that science plays a big part into all of our lives.
It's probably important for those people that say that. And what's the point of marching to maybe come out and understand what the point of the marching is, and to network with other folks, and learn about what the issues are and what can be done in the state and locally and actually nationally.
Right. Exactly. That's it. This is just a way for us to do our part and start those conversations. But there's a lot of work to be done. So we need everyone to come together and care.
Okay. Well, let's run that down one more time. Tomorrow, at what time and where?
Sure. So we will be starting the march at 10 o'clock in the morning. So come between 9 and 10, we'll be meeting at the Carnegie Hall. We'll be marching down to
the old Carnegie Library, right?
Yes. Right. Yes, yes, yes. So that is at 235 West 10th Street. And so Carnegie Hall, 10 a.m., the march will start. We will be going down Dakota Avenue, and we will end our route at Falls Park West, and that is 5th Street and Phillips Avenue. And so at Falls Park West, you'll be able to engage with community members and continue that conversation.
Fantastic. Beautiful day.
Yeah, it's supposed to be really nice.
Wonderful speakers, including your daughter.
Yep.
And what could be better?
I don't know. I think it's a great time. Yeah.
I think it's a really poignant day to have that on. Joel, did you have something?
Yeah, I was going to ask. You said there are going to be multiple speakers. Do you know who they're going to be?
We have some professors from Augustana that are going to be speaking, and we also have SDSU professor Dr. Gibbons. He's done a lot for science in the agricultural world. So he wants to speak to how science has a direct impact on our food and our farming community, and it really impacts South Dakotans a lot more than I think people realize. And so we also have the mayor there, and he is going to do a proclamation for that day. So we're really excited, and we aren't going to bore people. This isn't going to be a really long speaking engagement, but just want to encourage people to keep this progression going and give them some facts and some understanding as to what they can do next to continue to see this progress.
I think some of the excitement, I think, from folks that I've been reading about and listening to, the Neil deGrasse Tyson visit to Augustana really kind of put the fire in the belly for some people.
Absolutely.
About getting excited about science and technology, and I think that's fantastic. So,
yeah, that was a fantastic program. I went that night, and my whole family went. It was just fantastic. I like that you're tying in with the local economy with agriculture, but multiple schools. I think that's great. It's good representation. Did you have to turn anybody away? Were there people that wanted to speak and you just didn't have enough slots?
Yeah, we've had a lot of interest, and so we, with the understanding that we don't want to take up everyone's day and morning, we try to keep it pretty limited. So yeah, we've had to say no, but that doesn't mean we still want everyone to come out though. So
yeah, it's going to be a great day for it. Yeah. Sounds like it's going to be sunny and not windy and not rainy. So
yeah,
I couldn't really ask for a better day to get out and walk around downtown.
Amos, you're going?
Sounds like I am. Yes.
What do you hope to get out of it tomorrow?
Well, actually, I was also noticing you're doing a cooperative effort with this, I might not say this right, the Greenway Project.
Yeah, and that's a huge part. So another way for people to continue to feel like they are accomplishing something in this march, other than getting their steps in for that day, is we partnered with the Greenway effort, and so we will have bags and gloves for people at the beginning of the march to clean up as we are going down the streets of downtown Sioux Falls, to leave that community and that part, our footprint, cleaner than when we left it. But yeah, the city is doing a great effort on the whole Greenway to make sure that it's clean on Earth Day and gather all the garbage. And so people will come, we'll have bags. They will just leave them right there at Falls Park West. And then we will be delivering that to the other side of the river, and they will be cleaning it up for us and taking the large load away. So
yeah, we didn't even mention that it's Earth Day tomorrow. I mean, a lot of people probably know that. But yeah, coinciding with Earth Day is kind of a nice tie-in.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Ashley, have we forgotten anything?
No, I think that if we just make sure that everyone knows it's a family-friendly event, and to bring everyone, whether they know that science impacts them or not, we still want them there and marching for a good cause.
And we should mention also there are marches in two other towns in South Dakota that we know of. in Pierre and in Rapid City. And I don't have a whole lot of details, but those details are on the web.
Yeah, you can actually go to the Science March, just Google Science March, mm-hmm. and it will send you to the different organizational websites. I just went there myself
absolutely.
And noticed. And it looks like you can register there if you want to march. I assume you can come even if you don't register.
Absolutely. Don't need to register. Just come. Bring a friend and a sign, and we can all have some fun together.
Fantastic. Ashley, thanks for stopping by today.
Thanks
we appreciate
for having
it.
Me.
You bet. We are going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll have more from our panel of technology professionals. We have a full slate of those folks here on deck today. We have Amos Asop, the Exigent Chief Security Officer. Joel Brovelite, we've heard from today. Thanks, Joel. We've got Jeff Litterick from the Bureau in Pierre and John T. Meyer from Lemonly. All on today's show. A special guest coming up as well. We have... Will Bushy, Vice President of Bright Planet, co-founder of Code Boot Camp. I'm not going to say that wrong. In South Dakota, he'll be joining us on the show right after this. And you're still in the moment on SDPB Radio. Kent Osborne here. We're switching gears, and we're going to talk investing and advice and other things. World-renowned business leader and investor Paul Singh is bringing his Tech Junkies tour to Sioux Falls next week. Will Bushy is here to talk about that. He's the vice president of Bright Planet, co-founder of Code Boot. Just about did it again. Code Boot Camp of South Dakota. I don't know why I can't get that out, Will. And the author of Wired for Coding. Share some stories about how did you get him? How did you get Paul here?
Yeah, so last year at the big Omaha Tech Conference, he was a speaker, and I really liked what he had to say on his tech tour and thought that'd be a great addition to Sioux Falls. So after the conference, I asked him if he'd come out to Sioux Falls, and we kind of got things arranged on his calendar, and it took us a few months to kind of get things lined up, and we got it set up for the week of April 24th next week.
You know, Disruption Corporation, mm-hmm. that's an interesting name, but he's... Super Angel is what they call this investing.
Right.
So he comes in, and he'll be doing that in Sioux Falls as well, talking to startups and entrepreneurs and possibly investing in them.
Yeah, definitely. So his companies with the portfolios of businesses that they've invested in is about 1,700 companies. So if you think about that and try to put that into perspective, that's just a ridiculous amount of companies to both manage but also try to invest and figure out where the resources are going and so on. But the whole point of the tour is he wants to go out to where the entrepreneurs are, and he wants to meet the entrepreneurs, and he wants to find out, you know, what's interesting in South Dakota. Is there something worth investing in? Of course, the only way Paul makes money is if he makes investments and makes investments on companies that turn to be successful and either go on to raise more money or become public companies.
Is he actually bringing his Airstream?
Yeah, he travels with it. In fact, he just had it at the Airstream factory yesterday and just picked it up on his way to Sioux Falls, getting some repairs done. But yeah, he'll stay in the Airstream the whole time that he's here. He'll be parked downtown at the Holiday Inn.
That's amazing. And it sounds like the guy's got a lot of energy. And will he be sharing that? Is he going to give some talks and other public events people can go listen to and participate in?
Yeah, there are. He'll be here the whole 5 days, so we've got events kind of scattered throughout. Monday and Tuesday, we're doing more private business meetings. And then on Wednesday, he'll be the speaker at the 1 Million Cups downtown. And then we'll be out at the Governor's Giant Vision right after that. And then we're going to be at Augustana University speaking to some business students. Those are all open to the public. And then on Thursday, we'll be out at the Zeal Center for Entrepreneurism the whole day. And there'll be an opportunity at 3 o'clock to hear him speak. And then we've also got a networking event right after that at 4. And then all day Friday, we'll be out at the bakery. And it'll actually be the last event that the bakery has at their facility.
Are there plans for the move for the bakery at this point?
Right now, they're just going to take it more to a virtual business, and they're going to operate kind of more remotely, and they're going to use different spaces around town for their in-person meetings, and they'd like to continue to keep the community alive through online and some local meetups. And the plan long-term would be to try to find a space that would fit better for the community.
Sure. We went through that kind of quick.
Sure.
Is there a place, I'm assuming online, that they can go and get the rundown of Paul's schedule and the events that are going to go on?
Yeah, everything is at the website, SiouxFallsTour.com. I was trying to come up with something that was easy for people to remember. It's Paul Singh's tour, so SiouxFallsTour.com. We have all of the events listed there. The ones that are public are noted accordingly. You don't have to register anything. Just come on out to any of those public events. There are some Facebook events if you want to just get last minute notifications and so on from them. So go ahead and sign up and come on out and speak and hear them speak. I think it's going to be a huge value to Sioux Falls and to Sioux Falls businesses. In addition to just speaking and meeting with entrepreneurs, he also has one-on-one office hours with businesses that want to pitch their business either right now for early stage funding or maybe they're at a point where they're looking at doing some additional growth. So we've got about 15 companies and people meeting with him one-on-one during the week that he's here.
How fun would it be to have all those invested in?
That'd be pretty cool.
What are the chances?
Well, all 15 probably not. But based on past cities that he's been in, you know, usually there's one or two businesses that do get some investment either through Paul's group or through some of the others. But there's no guarantee. Paul will have a couple other entrepreneurs and investors with him as part of the tour as well. They'll come in and out throughout the week.
How big of an impact is, I guess, the Sioux Falls area on for startups on ideas? And you're kind of steeped in that I don't know what the word is in town here,
but you're
in
the ecosystem.
You're in that ecosystem pretty well. How vibrant is that ecosystem compared to other? You mentioned Omaha and Des Moines and getting out to St. Paul in that area. How vibrant is Sioux Falls and how much excitement is here and how many ideas and can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, well, it's definitely growing. I mean, it's a community that's ever expanding, and I've been big on promoting more entrepreneurism, and I try to talk about it anytime and get a chance to meet with young entrepreneurs, whether they're college students or high school students. In fact, earlier today, I was out at the Junior Achievement out at Roosevelt for their ethics discussion, talked to some of the kids there about entrepreneurship and just getting them excited to go build and create something new. You know, as we move forward, you know, we're going to see more and more kind of smaller entrepreneurs, solopreneurs grow out and get away from kind of this larger business with, you know, thousands of employees. So it's coming. You know, I think we've got a ways to go, but there's a lot of great startup and entrepreneur people in Sioux Falls, and, you know, things like the Paul Singh Tour really help promote that and promote what they're doing, and hopefully it'll get people excited about wanting to do it themselves.
How engaged were the kids when you talked to them?
Well, pretty engaged. I mean, these were high school freshmen, so they were, you know, at first, of course, they'd probably rather be home playing video games like my kids are. But, you know, at the end of the hour, they were pretty engaged. I fielded a lot of different questions from them, a lot more than what I was expecting. So there's definitely a handful that are very interested in seeing where entrepreneurism and technology are going as well. So I was super excited to see.
Fantastic. So Will Bushy, Vice President for Bright Planet, is here today on In the Moment. If you'd like to send a question in for Will, do that now. You can send us an email. It's in the moment at sdpb.org or shoot us a text, 956-7372. That's 956-SDPB, 956-7372. Shoot us a question or a comment or a suggestion if you'd like for Will and for the panelists on the show today. Also, we've posted some information from the last segment on our Facebook page, facebook.com/techradio. You can also put a message there for Will or for any of the panelists that you'd like to.
Yep, the website is up right on our Facebook now. Yep.
Fantastic. One more time SiouxFallsTour.com?
Yes, SiouxFallsTour.com.
Okay. Yep. And the full rundown for the tour, the Paul Singh Tour, bringing his Tech Junkies Tour to Sioux Falls. That's fantastic. Are you pitching an idea?
I am not. You know, one of the things that I really wanted to do was to bring Paul here and showcase our city and showcase the tech and the entrepreneurship that we do have. So in order to do that, you know, there was a lot of time trying to get some of the more established corporate businesses to sponsor the tour. So we did get some corporate sponsors in. My plan here with Paul would be to build that long-term relationship and, you know, not spend time talking to him about my ideas while he's here in Sioux Falls, but to actually give an opportunity to those that don't know Paul to do that. So even right as I was pulling into the parking lot here, kind of doing some last-minute shuffling, trying to get one more person in that wants to pitch to Paul. So we actually shift some things around because we had more people sign up than what we were expecting. You know, I thought we'd maybe get 5 or 8. And it looks like we're going to have 16 that are actually going to be talking one-on-one and pitching to Paul.
He may have to park his camper a little bit longer.
Yeah, some of the evenings we got going pretty late. I think one of the evenings we've got one at 7 o'clock at night.
Are you going to mention your boot camp for kids when you talk to him?
Yeah, well, Paul and I, we've talked quite a bit, so, you know, he's familiar with some of the things that we've got going on here. But
I'm not familiar with that. Can you tell me? Sure. That's the summer project?
It is.
Okay.
So a couple years ago, this will be our third year of operation. We do a gaming boot camp for kids. They're mostly kind of middle school aged kids, like 6th through 8th, 9th grade. And we do a 5-day gaming boot camp where we invite the kids to come out and they teach them how to build video games. And we do some pretty complicated games. The first year, we actually recreated all of Super Mario Brothers level 1-1. From scratch. Then last year we had just a different platform game that I built out that was kind of like Mario. And then this year we've got a pretty complicated 3-level game, including a boss screen. That was the one thing I didn't have last year, and the kids really wanted a boss screen.
Okay.
So we've got that. During that 5 days, we'll teach, we'll build about 4 different video games, and they'll be in varying in types as well. We've got like an Angry Birds game and a Fruit Ninja-like game, and then the big platform game as well.
Yeah, limit on the number of kids that can participate, and is that always sold out?
So far, the last few years, we've been blessed to have it all sold out. So, yeah, I think so. We've got, before I just announced it just on our website probably about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and pre-selling to people that have done it in the past. And before we made the public announcement, we had about a third of it already full. But there's still room, sdgamingbootcamp.com.
I was just going to ask what the address is, sdgamingbootcamp.com.
Yep, and relatively easy to remember.
Absolutely. Well, Amos is on the Facebook page right now. We'll get that put over there as well, facebook.com/techradio for the links from today's show. Get in on the discussion as well. That's a site that never closes. It's always open, so be sure to visit there and like us on that page as well. Anything we're forgetting to mention for the tour this next week, preparing for it?
No, I think we kind of covered everything. But, you know, love to have everybody come out, even if you don't consider yourself an entrepreneur. Paul talks. I've heard him speak many, many times. And there's a lot of videos online if you want to kind of get a preview of the types of things that he talks about. But even if you're just, you know, maybe you got an idea, or maybe you think entrepreneurship might be an interesting way to go, or maybe you just want to hear what other people are doing in that tech community. He speaks very, very well, and he talks a lot about what he sees in the communities that are up and coming and growing. So I'd love to get more of the kind of business leaders, people involved with kind of tech startups and those types of things to come out and hear what Paul's got to say. I mean, he's definitely got the credentials of somebody that invests in a lot of businesses and can spot growth.
And that's the sort of mixer or the networking. Mm-hmm. That's when he's going to speak.
Yeah.
And that's Thursday.
Thursday at 3:00 at Zeal would be a great time. And then if that doesn't work, Monday at noon at the bakery, Clint Brown is going to be interviewing Paul Singh. So that'd be another great opportunity if you can't make it out Thursday.
Fantastic. That sounds like a lot of fun. And I take it, the people that these 15 or 16 that are going to be able to meet with him, they need more than an elevator speech, I imagine.
Yeah, so they'll have about 20 to 30 minutes to meet with Paul. And, you know, Paul's a real laid-back guy, so, you know, but I mean, you got to have your stuff together. You got to be prepared, and, you know, you're pitching for some actual investment capital, somebody that's going to own a percentage of your business. So there's a lot of motivation to do a good job and present your stuff thoroughly. But on the same token, if you're off track, Paul's going to give you some advice on how to get back on track, or maybe make some critical suggestions if now's not the right time for an investment.
Well, that'd be helpful rather than just, you know, I see through your stuff, you know, take a walk.
Right.
That would be great to, yeah. And I'm sure he can spot those kernels, those seeds of entrepreneurism and in anybody, depending on the presentation, he can probably, he's been through thousands of these pitches.
He's probably been thousands of these pitches already this year.
That's, wow. That's amazing. Well, Will, thank you for coming on the show. We appreciate that.
Well,
thank you so much.
Me.
And again, is there anything we're missing?
No, that sounds great. I mean, if just anybody's interested in the tour, come out to SiouxFallsTour.com, take a look at the schedule, find out something that meets. We tried to be very diverse on the locations and times so that people could account for, you know, if you can only make it out on Wednesday, there'll be a chance for you to come out on Wednesday. But love to have you come out at least once, maybe twice.
Absolutely. Get introduced, and it's networking is so key.
Yep. Absolutely.
So if you're not in the, you know, haven't been to the bakery, or Zeal or any of these events that you've put on over the years, now's the time.
It is.
Get involved. Maybe you'll have to have a march like they're doing tomorrow or something.
There you go.
For coders, a coders march. I don't know. That's a crazy idea, but we appreciate your time today. So thank you so much.
Thanks.
We come back on the show. We're going to take another quick break, but our technology professionals are here to answer your questions. In the moment at sdpb.org is the email address, and those texts, that text number again, 956-7372. We'll be right back. And back to In the Moment on SDPB Radio, and we do a lot of book reviews on the show, not usually in tech radio, though. Lori Walsh fancies herself a pretty good writer herself, and has a number of authors on, and William, you've got a book. I'm holding it right now, Wired for Coding. What's that about?
Yeah, so this was a book that was published last year. I've been in the tech community for many years, and I've interviewed probably 100 college students for jobs in the computer science field. And I just felt that a lot of them were ill-prepared to actually enter the workforce. And when we started our code bootcamp a couple of years ago, you know, we were trying to fix that by getting them better prepared, by doing more project-based learning, having them build website portfolios of their work, and getting them to get more involved on things like blogging and talking about the projects. So that kind of led into writing a book. So I wrote that over a couple of years ago, and it just kind of sat on the shelf for a while, trying to figure out when the right time to release it was. And then I was talking to Jeremy Brown over at Throne Publishing. It was about a year ago. It was last spring, and I was explaining the book to him, and he said, well, that sounds great. Why don't you send it over? So I emailed him a copy, and he took a quick look at it and said, hey, let's get this published. And so then we went down the path of publishing it, and then it was released last fall.
This strikes me as a plan for success starting out, and what they need to do, what kids need to do, or young professionals need to do to gain experience, work with others, learn to work with others, and then work on their portfolio. Which, you know, if you've ever worked with a college student, that's a 4-year enterprise. Mm-hmm. In a lot of places. You're constantly working on portfolio.
Yeah. Well, it's a surprise to me that a lot of the universities don't promote more of that type of work throughout the curriculum. I can't tell you how many times I've interviewed students, and it's like, well, what have you done for projects? And the answer is none. They haven't done anything. They've done a lot of schoolwork, or they may have done a project for school. But it's extremely rare to find a student that's gone out and, you know, built their own website or built their own web app or their own mobile app as part of the class. And so these are things that industry is looking for. This is, you know, you could sit down across from somebody at Citibank and one of these other businesses that are hiring people. And, you know, if you've built something on the side, that shows a lot to your skills and your ambition. And it also gives you an opportunity to show your work and show your progress, show what you've actually done. You know, so often these kids will come out and you'll do 5 or 6 interviews at the college in an afternoon, and by the end of the day, you can't tell one from the other. They all have had the same experience, the same background. They've done the same projects. None of them have kind of stepped outside of the normal curriculum to do anything different.
Fantastic. Any success stories come back from experiences the kids have had by reading your book or using your book?
Yes.
This is a kind of a user manual, isn't it?
It is. It is a user manual. The way I've authored it is kind of trying to get them early in their college career. So say they're sophomore, junior, or maybe freshman, sophomore year, maybe junior year. And I actually have a worksheet on the website that you can download that'll essentially break down everything that I think you should be doing through your 4 years of college so that you're very well prepared out the back end when you actually graduate. There's definitely been a few success stories. A kid I've been mentoring here at Augustana University here over the last year or so. He was on one of my teams at Startup Weekend last spring down in Yankton. I gave him a copy of the book, and he read it, and I get kind of questions back from him from time to time. But he's actually now gone out and built his own mobile app, and he's been working with just a real small team. But then he actually got an internship for a big company down in St. Louis this summer because he had some of those projects that he had already worked on.
Absolutely. Build a portfolio. Wired for Coding is the name of the book. Where can people find this?
Yeah, it's available on Amazon. You can also go to wiredforcoding.com, and you can click right through there as well. I've got links back if you want a paperback or if you want just the digital version.
Sure. Absolutely. Thanks for bringing that on the show. And of course, we just talked about Paul Singh in the last segment, and that's, you got a big week coming up.
I do, yeah. I sent Paul and Dana a copy here before they came out as well. They're excited to read it.
Absolutely. get a hold of us if you'd like to. If you have questions for panelists on the show today, for Will, Will's going to stick around and grace us with his presence today. That's fantastic. We love visitors. In the moment at sdpb.org is how you can get in involved in the show. You can also call us if you'd like to ask a question live on the air. Don't be shy. Our phone number, 800-524-3604, 800-524-3604. You're on Twitter, send those questions to @KentSDPB. They'll come right to me. And that text number again, 956-SDPB, that's 956-7372. Joel, I saw an aha moment.
Yes. I was. I had mentioned this during the break, and I couldn't remember it, but then I realized what it was. We should probably talk about eight states have introduced legislation, what's called the right to repair. And I don't know if you've heard about this, Kent, or either. Basically, the deal is, and this kind of all started in the ag industry, where some farmers who have bought John Deere tractors, who of course use software because, of course, they have to go to back to the manufacturer to fix them, and they want to be able to do what they've always done and fix their stuff themselves. So, and then of course that's leaking out to whether it's a phone or a car, no matter what it is. If you've ever tried to fix your own iPhone, you know that you can't use Apple parts to do it, or you can't even do it yourself. So there's a lot of people out there that want this so-called right to repair, and eight states have introduced legislation for it. I don't know how you guys are on this side on that topic, but as soon as that gets enacted, we will see a lot less innovation. And I realize that people want to fix their own stuff, but if you've actually looked inside some of these devices they want to fix, that's not something anybody should be doing, no matter how great you are. Some things like this laptop I'm sitting in front of require special tools to even open, and in some cases can't be opened because they're so thin, and batteries are dangerous these days. So I can see both sides of it, but I hope this legislation doesn't move forward personally.
Well, and I think what they're probably getting at is that they don't want third-party repair shops doing this sort of stuff. A couple of reasons for that. One, if it was a third party that had the right tools and had somebody who was, capable of doing things correctly and safely and that sort of stuff, that's one thing. But a lot of the code or a lot of the software that's inside it is going to be John Deere's secret sauce, right? I mean, this is how they do what they do. And so they don't want that getting out, because then all of a sudden the John Deere competitors of the world are going to be able to have access to that sort of stuff too and reverse engineer it and figure out how things are done. And so there's really kind of a catch 22, is that you're forced to go back to the manufacturer, which is difficult. I think we've, as I was growing up, it was always, oh, don't take your car to the dealership, because that's the most expensive place to get it fixed, right? You take it to Larry down the street, who's got whatever certification he needs to fix cars. But also there's that competitive nature. How does John Deere protect their IP or their intellectual property and still allow people to work on stuff?
Yeah, and you bring up a good point. Another part of that is liability for those companies, especially when you're talking something huge like a tractor. You monkey with that, and all of a sudden the thing goes haywire. I'm not saying that's what would happen, but you can see John Deere thinking, hey, we might be liable there, or we don't want to see anybody hurt with our devices. Same thing happens with these phones. I mean, you remember last year with Samsung Galaxy, if people were able to access that and maybe do something just wrong, phones can overheat. Those batteries can be dangerous. So I don't know. As long as we got you here, what do you think?
Sure. Well, I'm pro the
right to repair.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I don't think I have anything that has survived the "don't remove this warranty" sticker object in my house. I take things apart all the time, make them better. But the funny thing is if you actually do and dive into some of these products that are supposedly not released, you can find the schematics for your laptop online, and there's all kinds of things that you can find to actually figure out. Then these have a lot of times been leaked directly out from companies like Apple and Samsung. So I don't know that it's actually going to change anything from the innovation standpoint. One thing that it will do is it'll allow authorized repair people to have more accurate information rather than either stolen or bootlegged information that's been potentially leaked and changed from the original manufacturer. You know, all patents are public information as well. So if it's a patent object, it has already been published. So that part isn't going to change anything. You know, it'll actually, I think, make the repair shops a lot more efficient and better to actually help us out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I mean, I see your point. You know, having worked at an Apple repair shop, I can tell you, I've worked on lots of computers that were fixed by myself or fixed by a non-authorized repair shop. You know, I definitely support somebody being able to do something to their own device, and actually that's not technically illegal. I mean, if you break open your phone, Apple's not going to come after you. They're just not going to replace stuff under warranty. So I think that's the sweet spot. I think that where it is right now, where it's your device, you want to break it open, bust it open, go ahead, do what you want. But we're not going to fix it because we can't guarantee you after you've monkeyed with it that it's going to be exactly like you wanted it to be when we sold it. You know, we're not going to be liable to make sure that it functions at the level that we said it would when we sold it to you. You were going to say, Amos?
Well, and it's very possible they make it worse, right? But at that point, you just lose your warranty if you don't have it repaired at an authorized repair center. But some of those authorized repair centers have to be the actual manufacturer, as in the John Deere case. And John Deere isn't going to let Larry, or at this point is not letting Larry's repair shop go out and get certified in that and be able to do it in the small towns. You know, in some cases, the actual issue was they needed a repair, but the nearest John Deere facility was so far away that it was going to take days for it to happen. And some of these large machines have to be, you know, hauled and that sort of stuff. So I actually, in my opinion, could argue both sides of it.
Yeah, well, I think that's a failure of John Deere. That's not necessarily a failure of companies wanting to be able to have domain over their devices. You know, that's a case where if you look at that and John Deere has a failing there, just like if Apple had a failing to fix your device, that's an argument to go with somebody else. Maybe you shouldn't buy this John Deere tractor. You should buy a competing product. I think that just allows the market to take care of that, frankly.
I was just looking. There was a recent news article on SDPV radio about a group of farmers that hired some hackers. I don't want to say they're from Chechnya, but they were from an Eastern Bloc sort of country, and to come over and
where all good hackers come from.
Hack my tractor.
Hack my tractor. Yeah. I should buy
that domain.
I think so. If you have a question about or a comment about hacking your tractor, we have the folks to talk about it today on the show. In the moment at sdpb.org, 956-SDPB, that's 956-7372 for text messages only. And then, of course, our Facebook page, facebook.com/techradio for the links that we talked about on today's show, from the March for Science events across South Dakota to Paul Singh and his Airstream coming for a week to camp in Sioux Falls and maybe be an angel investor for a number of folks. That's exciting. We're going to have to follow up on that and see what Paul finds here.
Yeah.
He unearths some gems. And
he'd love to meet everybody. So if you happen to come out, you know, definitely stop and say hi and tell him a little bit about your business.
Absolutely. Another big, a couple other big announcements this week. One that impact you, Amos. Now, you're actually a card-carrying member of Plastic.
Unfortunately, I'm not a card-carrying because they didn't send out the cards. Right. So Plastic, PLASTC, if you want to search it on the internet, the general idea was that there was going to be a credit card-sized device that allowed you to carry all of your credit cards on one device and allowed you to change that card to whatever card you wanted it to represent. So your wallet wasn't as bulky, basically, right? There was a lot of technology that had to go into it. There was a lot of display technology that was capable of being bent and still functioning. There was the capability of changing the magnetic stripe on the fly. There was the capability of building in security so that, you know, other people couldn't get a hold of your various cards, and it was only one at a time. And then there's, of course, the chip portion that needs to be functional and needs to work at ATMs and blah, 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 blah. So a lot of stuff to go into it. Well, About 3 years ago, they started accepting what were called and what they were phrasing as pre-orders, which is different than like a Kickstarter where you're backing something where it's possible that it will not, you know, not come to fruition. In this case, it also didn't pan out. And yesterday, they sent out an email and posted on their website that they tried their hardest. They couldn't get it to work. They ran out of funding. Their last-minute backers backed out as far as their venture capital goes, and there's just simply nothing they could do, and they're closing their doors. There's a lot of people who have been sticking with them for several years. I actually paid the money 2 years ago and kept with it, hoping that it would come out, and now they're filing for bankruptcy, and there's very little chance that there's any money to be gotten back, right? So there's a lot of pitchforks and torches out on Facebook right now as far as people trying to go after these people and, you know, get their money back. And the CEO, his name is Ryan something or other, people are really mad at him. There seems to be a perception that this was planned all along, that the 80,000 people who signed up basically gave them $9 million and they absconded with it. And so there's a lot of anger about that. There's been previous examples that have failed. Coin failed. I believe another one that failed is Swipe. And there's one other that I can't remember off the top of my head. You're shaking your head like you're familiar with this?
I am. Well, I have a coin.
Okay. And is it still functioning, or is that something that started and then ended?
It never functioned.
It never did? Okay.
So I was likewise with the plastic. I was one of the early backers, and it was, I think, $97. It was a pre-sale, same thing.
Yeah.
And this was before plastic came out. I think it was before plastic came out. And I waited a long time. It was probably a year, maybe a little over that. And then finally it showed up, and I was super excited about it, but it doesn't there has only supported the magnetic strip. It didn't support the chip, and so more and more of the cards are going to chip. Yeah. So it almost was obsolete by the time I got it, but I used it a little bit anyway. But it couldn't, for some reason, it would just continue to lose your cards, and then you'd have to start the entire process over again, which was far, far too painful. So it's laying at home on my desk of broken electronics that I can't take apart.
It's an interesting technology. The idea with the plastic, though, the problem is for those of us that bought it, right? I put it on a credit card. It's now gone past what my credit card will allow me to do a chargeback on. You know, because I paid for it in 2014 or 15 or something like that. So I'm just out of luck. And you know, it's not a whole lot of money. It's not going to bankrupt me, but it's one of those things that there's just 80,000 people out there who are very angry that their little bit of money got taken. And the CEO, the perception is the CEO got paid very well doing what he was doing, and then they just closed their doors with no, you know, announcement. Actually, up until 2 weeks ago, things appeared to be going well. They were showing prototypes. They were giving demos, that sort of stuff. But that's the nature of technology, I think. You know, that's just the way it goes. Sometimes things just don't work out. You run out of money, and what can you do? You can't do anymore because they needed another $6 million.
But you knew there was a chance when you invested in this company that this wasn't going to work.
No, because it's not a Kickstarter. It's not one of those things that we were funding the development. It was a pre-order of something that we thought was functional or would be functional for
sure.
Right. That's the theory. That's why everybody's so angry. For me, I understand, but I've been in the tech industry a long enough time to understand this. There's a lot of people who are just, like I said, pitchfork and torch carrying.
I think Jeff probably knows there's been a lot of games that we've pre-ordered, and sometimes those never show up.
Yeah.
So there are other examples of this. That's interesting, and that the folks want their money back, but that's probably not going to happen. It'd be interesting to know from Paul how many, you know, investments he's made that haven't panned out. It's got to be a fairly high ratio.
It's 99.9%.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, he'll talk about this when he's here, but I mean, it's almost, you know, but you have to invest in a lot of companies if you're going to have the unicorn investment. You know, you can't invest in 10 companies and expect one to be successful. You know, I mean, based on his metrics, I mean, it's less than 1% that will actually get to the point where they come back with a significant return. You know, there's maybe 2 to 5% that come back as a okay return, and there's probably another 5% that are a break-even return. But 90%+ will essentially go out of business. In fact, you know, the number one reason, Paul says this a lot in his presentations as well, the number one reason businesses go out or business fails because they run out of cash. You know, it doesn't have anything to do with whether they had a good product and they couldn't get it to market, or there was infighting with the owners or the founders. Almost 100% of the time, it's just because they simply run out of cash.
Yeah, they said that they had some backing that was supposed to get them, you know, through the goal line, but that they literally were a signature away and they mm-hmm. backed out. So when you run out of cash, there's not much more you can do, because it's not like you can right. you know, finance it yourself at these levels anyway. Yeah.
Well, and tech businesses, as they don't have a lot of capital things like machinery that they can turn around and sell and leverage for credit in order to get to the next level. So right. tech businesses as a whole have an even bigger struggle because when you run out of cash, I mean, that's pretty much
that's it.
Yeah. Although I will say the not delivering on a pre-order thing is as old as commerce itself. So nothing new in the digital world there. So, but it's too bad for anybody when something like that mm-hmm. happens.
Absolutely. Have you been following the F8 conference, the developer conference for Facebook this week?
I just tuned in a little bit during the keynote, and that's all I saw. I mean, somewhat was announced, which I it's kind of an ongoing announcement, and I forget what they call it, but where they're going to get more into virtual and augmented reality and virtual reality mm-hmm. Situations. He promoted the idea of, you know, wouldn't it be great if you could turn your entire house into Harry Potter land for your daughter's birthday. You know, basically just upload some an app that you download, and all of a sudden, you know, you put the glasses on and
you're in Hogwarts.
Yeah, exactly. So, and lots of cool things. I failed to see how that works into Facebook, frankly, but you know, Facebook's far more than social media anymore.
They are, and some of the more exciting announcements that I saw had to do with neuroscience, had to do with basically typing with your brain or typing by thought, and being able to improve that without invasive things being implanted.
I do not want my brain to be typing what I think, because that's in a lot of cases probably not be legal. So we probably I'm not going to sign up for that.
But it is just Facebook,
right?
There is supposed to be a way where you make a judgment, like, and then the example is given. You take a lot of pictures, but you choose which ones of those you're going to share. You have a lot of thoughts, but you choose which ones you're going to share. And this is all very interesting.
Always been my problem, which one to choose.
Which one to choose. The other was basically listening with your skin. There's over 2 meters of skin on your body, and they're all very sensitive and have the ability to pick up on things. And they have a sensor that goes on your skin, and as people either type on an app or, I suppose, speak to it eventually, is folks can pick up those mm-hmm. senses and learn how to read those and understand them. There's a pretty good demo in that video as well. So they're going a lot of different places. VR is of course the big
right.
the big sexy thing that everybody's all interested in, but they have they're investing in a lot of scientists and researchers and in a lot of
That's another case of where you know, they'll invest in 100 things and maybe one of them will hit, but you know, if that one hits, that's mm-hmm. going to be a big deal. So yeah, that's what those big companies need to do, just like any other investor.
Absolutely. Well, we have come down to the waning moments of the show, and we've had a couple of great guests here today. Will Bushy, the vice president of Bright Planet, co-founder of Code Boot Camp of South Dakota. I finally got that right. Thank you for bringing your book today.
Yeah.
And telling us about Paul's visit. That's going to be exciting. I hope to get up to Sioux Falls and see some of that next week. That'll be maybe even record some of it. We'll have to talk about that.
Excellent. Love to have you come on.
Absolutely. And Joel Brovelite, it's been a joy as always.
Thank you.
Amos Aesop
from
Exigent. Thanks for being here as well. We didn't quite get to Jeff Litterick today, but we want to thank him and the Bureau of Information and Telecommunications as well for being available on the show today. That is all the time we have. Join us again in 2 weeks for another episode of In the Moment Tech Radio here on SDPB Radio. Science Friday coming up next. You're going to hear a lot more about the March for Science over the next 2 hours. Stay tuned. It's going to be a great afternoon, everyone.